The Night Shift.
Time to have a look at the week that was with Adam Shand, podcaster, broadcaster, Walkley Award winner and great friend of the program. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you going?
Mate, I'm fantastic this morning.
Yeah.
You see our numbers yesterday, 28 cases. We're on the way back. This is fantastic. Are you feeling optimistic yet, Luke?
Well, I'm feeling optimistic, but there's talk that Dan Andrews may well be rolled next week by his own party. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if it does he deserve it?
There's been talk about this the last few days that the treasurer of Tim Palace is going to take over. Like, yeah, really? Seriously? You know, it's like, you know, Mike Tyson's just knocked out the incumbent. You want to step in the ring? You know, take up the cudgel? No. Foolish. Particularly when, listen, this train is pulling into the station soon and they want to pull up the track now? No. We're actually on the way back. Whatever you think of Dan Andrews, the numbers speak for themselves, people. And you go out into rural Victoria, everything's getting back to normal. So I think it's time Australia stopped talking about us and Victoria and began thinking about Australia, including Victoria. I think there's been, you know, there's been a lot of just crap talk in the last couple of weeks. So much pressure on the Premier. He's got there every day and answered every single question. What else can he do? You know, seriously, and the numbers have been coming down. Yet there's this inane chorus of drivel saying that he should step down, he should go this, or stop fronting press conferences. Honestly, the journos get in there, Luke, like a bunch of galahs on the fence trying to outdo each other. And none of them, to mix my metaphor, has laid a glove on him so far. So it's time they just all shut up and let this happen. It's actually happening without them.
There's an old basketball analogy. It's okay to pull your starting point guard off the court, but you better have someone on the bench ready to replace him.
Well, you're the opposition leader. I mean, honestly, he's like a barking dog. You know, we'll be ruined, we'll be ruined. You know, let everyone out right now. The Minister for Chaos, he is. And his popularity is falling as well. I can't think of his name, to be honest, at the moment.
During the week, we received this very disturbing call from Sharon.
I just got a message for Dan Andrews that I hope he's never in the situation that we are in. My family's in now.
What's up? What's happened?
On Saturday, our 24-year-old son was involved in a horrific accident. He's on life support Alfred, and we're not allowed in to see him.
That's Sharon, yeah. And to this day, to my knowledge, she still can't go into Alfred Hospital to visit her son who's on life support. We've made contact with the Alfred Hospital. They say that their rules are set in place. Do you think it's time to show a little bit of compassion? This woman, surely, she's been tested twice. She's come back negative twice. She said she'll wear PPE. She just wants to visit her son on life support.
Yeah, I mean, this is doable. Absolutely. And I think the rigidity of the system here is absurd. I mean, it's one thing to have all these regulations in place, but I think you're also going to be able to go case by case. And it's not just there. I think it's the Queensland borders. It's a range of things that, you know, it comes back to our federal system here, Luke, that the states have a conflict of interest with the feds. You know, they're solely responsible for health while the feds have the economic responsibility. So we have this issue between this conflict of interest. I was reading today about countries getting rid of the Queen as the ruling, you know, the head of state.
Yeah, Barbados.
Who cares really? But I mean, I wasn't a Republican, Luke, because it didn't go far enough. I don't care about the Queen. It's just a ceremonial position. It's got to go. We've got to have a root and branch reform of Australian federalism. Get rid of the states. I've said this before, of course,
Yeah.
The local government getting a lot more of the functions of the state. And we have one uniform government across this wide brown land, Luke.
Yeah.
Why do we have this compromise from 1900? And that's what it is. So the states would come on board and retain a lot of their rights and while being in this federal structure in Australia. That's got to go. Henry Parkes didn't think it would last 120 years, did he?
Exactly. Speaking of all things Australian, there's going to be a new True Blue Values questionnaire, a citizenship test that people will have to take before they can become Aussies from November 15. It's a 20-question multiple choice test. It'll include 5 questions about Australian values. New question, for example, Adam Shan, should people in Australia make an effort to learn English?
No, they should learn English. What's this effort business? How do we rate an effort? I think they should learn English. It should be a condition of people moving from permanent residency to citizenship. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, that will equip them not just for values, but day-to-day life. And that's the fact of the English is marching across the world. It's the lingua franca here. Australia is making its way in the world. Be part of it. Learn the language.
Question number two. What does girt by sea mean? No, I'm only joking. And question number three. Can you finish this line from a song? Am I ever going to see your face again? What comes next? That'll test you. The new True Blue Australian citizenship test. What question would you have in there?
Well, the ones I'm seeing there are kind of, it's more like an essay question. I see something in news.com where one of the questions is, why is it important that all Australian citizens vote to elect state and federal parliament? Because they have to. Simple one, isn't it?
Hey, listen.
And, you know, should people tolerate one another where they find that they disagree? Well, yes, except if you're religion, where you get exemptions from discrimination and things like that. In Australia, are people free to choose who they marry or not marry? Well, yes, but it's still expensive. Sorry to be a smart ass.
Exactly. What do you think about uni students taking a gap year and having their HECS fees slashed so they can go and pick fruit?
Absolutely. I mean, we should be, as part of our economic recovery, get rid of all that debt. We're talking about cancelling the debt. We're always talking about this so-called debt burden that we'll have because of coronavirus. Well, our students already have this HECS debt. Get rid of it immediately. I think we need to, one of the key aspects in Australia, Luke, is that people should be tertiary educated as we move out of this COVID period. I was reading a thing today, it'll add 1% to GDP if we have everybody who could get into tertiary study in there, and that their salaries are better, they're much less likely to be unemployed. There should be national goals around education because, and how were the unemployment numbers yesterday, Luke? Did you see that?
Yeah, but you know, if you're on JobKeeper or JobSeeker, you're not on those figures. And even if you were on JobKeeper and you've been made redundant, you're still not on those figures. So how accurate are they?
Well, are you saying that people have been stood down
and
not unemployed? Well, if you're stood down, you aren't unemployed. So let's use the normal ABS criteria, which says we had don't gainsay the recovery, Luke. I think a lot of people are going to be caught shorty because for the first time, I think, in this year almost, I can. There's a horizon to plan. And I think summer's looking amazing in Australia. We're going to have a sort of a COVID-safe status quo, I think. We're going to have low case numbers. It's going to be great.
Okay.
I think people really should be thinking about how, you know, for the future beyond this, Luke.
There are three sorts of people in this world I've noticed. One, the glass is half empty. One, the glass is half full. And during 2020, is that urine in that glass? just quickly, is monogamy normal? Are people meant to be monogamous? We talked about this week. Are you meant to be with sexually just the one partner for the rest of your life? Your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, I think it's a tough question. I think it's more an economic union that makes monogamy so important and the goals around the family and homes and material stuff. But I think I think life is lived in chapters and episodes, and I can't imagine, when I did get married, it sounds terrible, when the priest was saying, for better or worse, the sickness and health, I was thinking, and, you know, till death do you part, it sounded like a big commitment and a long commitment. And as it turned out, we're still friends. But we aren't married anymore. But I think people can be too hard on it. I mean, I think cheating on somebody else is not natural. I think that's awful. But I think the idea of being with one person the whole life it's a tall order for a lot of people these days.
I had some interesting calls on this. They're on a separate clip on our podcast this week. One bloke who takes his partner to swingers clubs in Melbourne, mind you, in Melbourne. And
swingers capital of Australia.
The swingers capital
of
Australia.
I would know.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
But tell me, Luke, how long have you been married for?
Well, I'm 2-0.
2-0?
I'm 2-0. Don't ask.
How long this time?
Well, I'm not married now.
You're not married now?
No. But I'm
living in sin.
Exactly.
Isn't that better? I mean, I think, you know, once your kids are big in particular, I don't understand people who actually hitch up later in life and particularly have extra babies. I find that, you know, self-destructive on some level.
Yeah. All right. Look, it's been an interesting week. The best bits of it and the worst bits of it are on our podcast. Tell me about your podcast.
Mate, it's the State Crime Command podcast. Also got, mate, I've also got my TV show coming out at the moment. In fact, this week I had Roger Rogerson on. Next week we're doing the great Qantas hoax of 1971. Remember that one? You're too young, aren't you?
Tell me.
Remember the Qantas hoax of 1971 when the guy said there's a bomb on the plane, you give me $500,000 and Qantas paid up?
That's right. I had forgotten about that. How'd you find
Roger's story?
All right. Well, there's
Roger was the darkness. And one interesting thing about Roger, everyone says how stupid he was to get caught under the security cameras when he killed Jamie Gow, the drug dealer in Sydney. But what people don't realise is most of these cameras cycle 10 days to 2 weeks. They're gone, erased. And how many crimes are committed with that knowledge in mind? There's so many. Roger was just very unlucky that there was a tip-off that they were in the area, and the cops managed to catch up on the villains and get them after the murder, unfortunately.
He's a man with many fingers and many pies, is Adam Shand. Adam, thank you for your thoughts this week. We'll talk next week.
Good on you, Luke. Have a good chat.
Adam Shand, the week that was, here on The Night Shift, Triple M.
This is The Night Shift. The Night Shift on the Triple M Network.